From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Guy Raz. Open up Don DeLillo's new book, The Angel Esmeralda. And on the inside cover, you'll find a list of novels, also by Don DeLillo, it reads. And there you'll find the titles of 15 celebrated works of American fiction: Falling Man, White Noise, Underworld. 15 huge novels spanning a lifetime of writing. But DeLillo's latest book, for the first time, is not a novel. The Angel Esmeralda is a collection of 9 short stories, 9 brief flashes, which, like DeLillo's longer work, center on characters who feel out of sync with the worlds around them. The stories are arranged chronologically. The earliest was written in 1979, the latest finished just this year. They trace the arc of American life over the past 30 years, and also, as Don DeLillo told me, the arc of his career.
When I started thinking about myself as a writer, the work I did was almost exclusively devoted to the short story. I think many writers in those years started with the story. The American short story is such a classic form. And I wrote a number of stories and managed to get a couple published in literary magazines. And at a certain point, I decided to take a leap, the existential leap, into the novel. And that took me a long time to write my first novel. When I finished, I stayed with the novel for a time, through the 1970s. At the end of the 70s, I wrote the first short story I'd done in quite a long time, and that turns out to be the first story in this book called Creation. And then occasional stories subsequently.
There are many characters in this book who are alone, or at least isolated, and you mentioned Creation. In that story, you have a couple struggling to get a plane ride off of a tropical island. In another story, there's a woman who visits art museums alone, and then she meets a man who does the same thing. There's another story about two men in a space capsule orbiting Earth during World War III. You can't imagine being more isolated than that. Characters like this appear in your earlier stories and also in your more recent ones. What is it about solitude or loneliness that you find appealing as a subject?
Well, it's a subject in part because a writer spends so much of his or her time alone in a room. But beyond that, I think it's so suitable for the short story form. And so one or two characters are usually quite sufficient for the demands of a particular idea that will find itself in abbreviated form.
When you look at a book like Underworld, a huge book, sweeping book, and of course you look at these 9 stories, I wonder about the difference in the challenges. I mean, writing a huge book versus writing a small sort of flash, a moment in time. Is one more difficult than the other, or are they just different kinds of challenges?
They're different kinds of challenges in a very important way. Once I knew that Underworld was going to take so long to write, it took 5 years, I truly thought that I would have to live long enough to finish it. And, of course, this doesn't happen when one writes a short piece of fiction. And the other difference is, a novel, as it takes place in my mind, always begins to develop a structure. I begin to feel it happening in the relatively early stages. I have it in my mind that this novel will obey a certain symmetry, perhaps. With a short piece of fiction, this rarely happens. It's one episode, usually, one or two characters. And I think the idea in most cases is to get to the end as quickly as possible.
Do you always write an outline before you actually start?
I don't do an outline at all. I've never done outlines. Whatever I know, maybe in notes, pieces of paper that I scribble on in a subway car or anywhere else, the sense of an outline is all mental.
How do you take those scribbles that you describe from the notebooks and transfer that to the novel?
Well, that's a good question, because there are times when I will look at a note I made 2 or 3 days earlier and wonder what the hell I was thinking of. But most of the time, what I do is just write them down in a larger notebook, which sits at the edge of my desk. And then at certain points, I go through those phrases and those lines of dialogue and figure out that they either do or do not belong in whatever it is I'm writing at the moment. There was a day when I was walking home from a grocery with a shopping bag and got an idea and wrote it. I had no notepad, so I wrote it on the shopping bag, took it home, and used it. Whatever that phrase was, it's somewhere in Underworld.
When you hear people talk about great American writers, inevitably the names Philip Roth and Don DeLillo, Thomas Pynchon are mentioned. It must be gratifying, but is it also strange sometimes?
Well, it's strange in the sense that it's something I certainly never envisioned when I was starting or even much later. And what I think about American fiction is that the best fiction, in my view, is the fiction that takes into account the enormous vitality and the enormous challenge of American life. In other words, I'm talking essentially about big books, although, of course, not exclusively. But the writers I admire, from Sinclair Lewis and up to Norman Mailer, were not afraid to take on that challenge. It seemed to me when I was working very, very slowly and fallibly on my first novel that this is what I had in the back of my mind, the challenge of this culture. It's probably why I titled the novel Americana.
You said in an interview actually with NPR almost 2 years ago that you felt like you were still 22 in your own mind. So I guess that would make you, what, 23 now?
Very good, yes. It's hard to explain quite what I meant by that, except that most of the time, just walking around, eating a meal, sitting at the desk to do some work, I'm no different. And these are fairly important activities. Of course, I'm aware of the actual chronology in which I'm embedded, but it's not usually a particular source of concern or annoyance. Most of the time, I could be 22 and 23 at the most.
That's Don DeLillo. His new collection of short stories is called The Angel Esmeralda. And this month, he turns 75. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.